Wonderland. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, this was definitely not one of the fairy tales that I really liked. I think I read it. You know, those Disney movies, I think I watched it. But you know, as an adult, I have come to realize that I am a really big fan of Alice in Wonderland. And I think I just figured out why. Personally, I love farces. I love movies that are farcical, satirical, just having a commentary, but doing it in such a fun and witty way. And I think that's what it is. As an adult, and I've seen many plays and interpretations of Alice in Wonderland, that I'm a big fan. Alice in Wonderland at the time was a satire on the society at the time. You had Alice, the innocent young girl who meets upon, she goes down the rabbit hole and meets upon a cadre of characters, really interesting, funny people that, you know, we can actually probably relate to them to today. You have the caterpillar that's smoking a hookah who can't even remember the poem that was just said before him. You have that sleepy dormouse. You have the duchess who is throwing the tea party. Then you have the main characters. You have the March Hare. You have the white rabbit who's always looking at that watch. You have, off with their heads, the Queen of Hearts. Don't I just love her? You have the Cheshire Cat and that Mad Hatter. All of them, all of these characters, they're so interesting. They're so fun. You can relate to them today. And I think maybe Alice in Wonderland was really written for adults. And that's why as a kid, I didn't get it. But now as an adult, as I mentioned, I love it. I love interpretations and I love just the story and how witty it was written and how timeless it is. Because I think all of those characters can fit any period in time. So what does Wonderland have to do with real estate with Nicole? Well, as I mentioned, Wonderland is full of characters. And ultimately, Alice was able to wake up and go back to her reality. But I think Wonderland for us today is where we are post-pandemic. I think the pandemic took us down that rabbit hole, and we are Alice trying to navigate ourselves in the area of real estate through our Wonderland, our situation, where we are today. So we are in this once upon a time. People felt home ownership was a goal easily reached. So that was back then. Fast forward into the pandemic. But today, half of us feel that it's not possible. So before I go there, I want to give you some thoughts with regards to home ownership versus renting. So personally, I have rented. I've rented a place. I actually, when I rented, I looked for the cheapest place in the best area with where I could save the most amount of money, but still feel comfortable and safe while I was paying rent. As a renter, I felt that I needed to treat where I rented as if it were my own home. Though in the back of my head, I knew that I was not going to be there forever. There was an expiry date on when I would be staying at that particular location. As a homeowner, you have a little bit more of a different perspective. As a homeowner, you are willing to save a little bit more in terms of making sure that you can pay your mortgage, your insurance payments, your utilities, all those other expenses associated with owning your property. As a homeowner, I plug myself into my community. I am participating in various activities, volunteering, interacting within my community, making friends with my neighbors, just really understanding what's happening around me. So though I was a renter and I understand the ups and downs, the tribulations, I knew that it was temporary. As a homeowner, you have a more grounded sense. You have a more feeling of security. You have a sense of stability. You have some a psychological safety, a mindset, emotional mindset. You know you can plan for your expenses, your finances, your investment. You know that this money that you are paying into your mortgage is an investment into your future and really helps to build that sense of security. Whereas where I was renting, I knew I was paying the money. I was looking for the cheapest place, but I knew that money was not coming back to me. And I had the mindset to make sure I was comfortable in that particular scenario. So, what does this have to do with home ownership? Well, there are statistics out there that says that 73% of Canadians believe home ownership is the best investment for them. As I mentioned before, they also indicated they have a sense of security and stability, and it's an investment in their future. Some other statistics shows that the net worth of a homeowner is about 40 times more than that of a renter. It shows that the rite of passage is proven to increase satisfaction in life. So the rite of passage of owning a home, that homeowners are more engaged in their communities and their neighborhoods and the well-being of their neighborhoods. Homeowners' children tend to do better in school and have more money as adults and ultimately become homeowners themselves. And an interesting statistics based on the 2021 census is that home ownership contributes to the overall growth of the Canadian economy by nearly 22%. That's an awesome figure. Home ownership plays such a significant role in the Canadian economy. So what is it about home ownership? Well, there's a quote from F.D. Roosevelt. Real estate cannot be lost or stolen, nor can it be carried away. Purchased with common sense, paid for in full, and managed with reasonable care, it is about the safest investments in the world. So yes, I definitely would agree with him on the quote. However, if we fast forward to today, 2024, there is some concern with regards to affordability and the factors related to home ownership. A survey conducted in 2023 by Sagan and Royal LePage indicated that two-thirds of first-time homebuyers are concerned about having insufficient funds for a down payment to purchase their desired property. In the GTA, about three-quarters of first-time homebuyers report feeling worried and not having enough funds for the home they want. About third, receive financial assistance for a lump sum payment towards their purchase or their down payment. And about 30% receive support on their monthly mortgage payments. So basically, in line with the sentiments of the responders, the survey found that first-time homebuyers are opting for more affordable areas or properties with fewer amenities to enter into the market, the housing market, and build equity. I wholeheartedly believe that these are highly prudent choices and that the financial assistance that they are receiving either in the form of a down payment or monthly payments have helped these first-time homebuyers or just general homebuyers enter into the market and to start to build equity. So in the survey, I emphasized the first-time homebuyers or the homebuyers were concerned about affording the places that they wanted or that they desired. So there is a difference between desire and want and need. So ultimately, the first-time homebuyers decided to focus on what was affordable so they could enter into the marketplace. So yes, we may want 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, but we need to be able to, we can only afford 2 bedrooms, 2 washrooms. Ultimately, the home buyers decided to purchase what they could afford so they could enter into the market, build equity, and then in a few years or when their situation changes, able to sell the purchase, use equity from that purchase to make the next step upward into their next home. So very prudent. It's one of the key factors that homeowners should really think about now in this particular marketplace. So on that point, just wanted to talk about that we keep hearing about the price of waiting. Over the past few years, as the interest rates began to rise in March of 2022 when they peaked, and then they started to come back down, many of the home buyers sat on the sidelines waiting for interest rates to come back down. But what is that price of waiting? Because many people are worry about finding their next home or the rates remaining high. However, there is a price to waiting. And this current time may be the best time to get top dollar for your home as a seller or to get the appropriate price as a buyer. So as a seller, the price you may pay for waiting is that you may have more competition. A projected 10.4% increase in sellers is expected this year, 2024. So from now to the end of the year, we expect 10% more properties to be coming on the market, meaning there's increased competition. We anticipate more competition from new construction and new home sales. And there's more risk for expensive repairs that could potentially wipe out any savings that you currently have or equity that's currently in your home. For a buyer, the price for waiting could include the cost of buying a home has risen steadily almost every year since 2005. I've done statistics for the GTA and across all home types, the average equity increase year over year is about 6.6%. And that's just the average. In some it's higher, in others it's lower. The national average home price is expected to rise about 2.3% over last year. And as a renter in the GTA, the average renter pays about $2,100 a month. And as I mentioned before, as a renter, I knew that I would just know that that money is not coming back to me. I'm using it to find a comfortable place to live. So that money that you're spending per month, whether it's $2,100 to $2,500 per month, that's losing out on building equity for your future. But there is good news. Yes, there is a price for waiting. You know, rates will continue to normalize. Recently, we've heard that for March, the inflation rate edged slightly to 2.9%, but we're still under that 3%. The Bank of Canada held the mortgage rate or the prime rate at 5%. And with these two factors, we are anticipating that when Bank of Canada reads out again in June, that we may anticipate a rate decrease. We're not sure, but that's what the trend seems to be indicating. So as those rates continue to normalize and new homes continue to build, because that's what the Canadian government and Ontario government are really trying to focus on, both buyers and sellers will be on the move. So I implore, please do not try to time the market. It's important for you to get your house in order in the sense of understanding your financials from both a seller or a buyer. And for a seller, I implore to you, it's important for you, do not try to time the market. Whether you're a buyer or a seller, it's important for you to get your house in order in terms of your financials, understanding as a buyer what your affordability is, obtaining pre-approval, understanding what you can afford and what your options are. As a seller, understanding your financials as well, because you may be selling your home in order to buy another property. Understanding those financials, and also get your house in order from an actual perspective, because in order to sell your home, you may have competition and you want to have your home in the best possible condition to attract the most amount of buyers and to generate the best and highest offers for your particular home. So it's time for you to get ahead of the crowd and work towards your ultimate goal of purchasing your home or selling and purchasing a new property. So I leave you with a couple of items, both for a home buyer and a home seller buyer. If you're just starting out on the journey of buying a home, whether it's your very first time or you're re-entering the market after a long period, a few things to consider. Improve your credit score by paying down any debt as soon as you can and as much as you can, and paying them down on time. Also, do not make any unnecessary major purchases, such as a vehicle, appliances, or even that vacation you've been craving. Think about prioritizing what your goals are and how you want to achieve them. Most importantly, talk to a qualified mortgage professional, mortgage specialist, mortgage broker to get pre-approval. So when you're ready, when the time is right, you can execute against your plan as much as possible. In addition to speaking with a mortgage professional, have your team of professionals available. Speak with a real estate professional. Consult with individuals who can help you, guide you to put together a real estate action plan and help you to execute against it. For the home seller, much of what I said for the home buyer applies, because if you sell and you plan to purchase, those are items that you would need to also consider. But also, if you have equity in your home, think about what you want to do. Talk to your spouse or your partner and plan and confer and see if you're on board with the plan and that you're both on board with the plan that you want to execute against. Talk to your child, your children or your grandchildren or family member to see what their goals are, their interests, their needs, Do you have equity in order to potentially maybe help them with a down payment or help with some monthly mortgage payments, similar to the survey results released late last year with Sagan and Royal LePage? You're in a great position to be able to help to continue to build generational wealth within your family structure. You could potentially want to leverage equity in your home if you haven't already done other investments to invest in other real estate, other kind of financial investments. Speak with and meet with the qualified financial professional in order to help you to think through and talk through any of those plans that you may have. It could include a lawyer, an accountant, a mortgage specialist, financial planner, a lawyer who specializes in wills and estate planning. That's really critical for you to have those discussions ongoing and in place. Though we may feel like we are Alice in Alice in Wonderland, and we have the hookah-smoking caterpillar who doesn't have a memory, we have the sleepy dormouse, we have the flighty duchess, we have off with your heads, queen of hearts, we have the mad hatter, we have the Cheshire cat, we have all these interesting characters surrounding us, I think we are able to be like Alice and find a way through the situation, through our journey, our real estate investment journey. Yes, our situation may be more complex than past generations, but I think with some ingenuity, with some thinking outside the box, with some help from family members who have equity, we will be able to get through it and thrive in Wonderland. Like what you hear, leave a comment and a rating. I'd like to thank my producer, Stories and Strategies, for their excellent work. I have one last request. Please share this episode with one friend or family member. Thank you, and see you next time.